Tomorrow is Monday. Any other special? Anyone can tell me what tomorrow is? Valentine, well done, Pat. And I'm not too sure what you feel about Valentine's Day. I'm not too sure if you celebrate it. Jason is, I know you've been at the shops out there buying stuff for Valentine's Day. You've bought it all out, so get ready, get ready. For some people, it'll fill you with excitement. Some of our young people are probably full of excitement. Hugh's probably waiting for the letterbox to be chock-a-block full of love letters. For some, you're filled with dread. Youth probably can feel like that too. But anyone can also fall into those dread feelings of Valentine's Day. For some people are filled with sadness. You know, that it reminds you, may remind you of your failures. It might remind you of your problems. It might remind you of maybe some loved ones that you have lost. For some, you've got this cultural pressure that everyone else is giving gifts, so now I've got to give a gift. Now, depending on how you are, if your love language is gift-giving, you're probably looking forward to giving a gift. But if your love language is not gift-giving, which is mine, buying gifts can be stressful. Anyone like me? I find it stressful buying gifts. And it's even worse when you've got holidays and you've got to try to buy souvenirs. That kills me, because I just can't do it. But then you've got the challenge of, if I don't get a gift from my husband or wife or boyfriend, if I don't get anything, does that mean I'm unloved? Does that mean that no one sees me or no one? And you've got all these internal struggles going on. And it raises some really, they're really challenging. Am I less loved if I am single? That's a good question, and that's a real wrestle for those who may be single. But even those who aren't single, maybe those that are in a relationship and you, and I'm not feeling the love. And so Valentine's Day can cause a lot of tension inside of us. We make such a big deal on what we can call a relationship status. On that note, I want to highlight that our very own Sarah McCutcheon has written an amazing book. It's called The Relationship Status. And it's dealing with how we view, are you married, are you single? And I encourage you, we'll be getting a few, in the e-news, we're going to put a link into how you can order it through Amazon or how you can get your hands on it. We'll try to get the spare copies at a church as well for you to get from the help desk. But it's understanding that every single one of us, regardless of your relationship status, single, married, divorced, widowed, doesn't matter. Every single one of us are loved deeply by God and valued and celebrated. So that's a brilliant book. I'd encourage you to have a look at it when we get your hands on it. So Valentine's Day, I'm not too sure where you stand. Our society makes a big deal about celebrating this day. I think that's likely because it's worth a lot of money. Research estimates in Australia that around about $200 will be spent per person on Valentine's Day. Just saying. Bar has been set.
That's about two flowers.
That's two short stem roses. So. $313 million will be spent on dining out. $90 million will be spent on flowers. $364 million will be spent on presents. And $60 million will be sent on chocolates. So that's a lot of chocky. And so it's a very much a consumer-driven celebration. Now, the Beatles told us, all you need is love. That's all I'm going to do. I've been practicing all morning on that one, so I still fail. So I'm not too sure that's entirely true. I'm going to give you some statistics now. I'm just telling you, this message is not a message about marriage, although I'll be talking about marriage and relationships. In 2020, there were 9 marriages every hour and 6 divorces every hour. In Australia. America's worse on the divorce rate. says from the student, but the difference is in 2020, normally it's 13 marriages per hour, but because of COVID, most marriages drop out about 29% of the people just didn't get married. So, but it's, and that's a fascinating statistic. And the research would say the reasons for divorce, 27% of that were communication problems, 21% were not feeling connected, and 20% were infidelity and trust. And so there's a bunch of other causes attached to the divorce rate: physical, emotional abuse, alcohol, drug abuse, financial problems, and mental health challenges in those spaces. So, but the majority of those divorces, the about 70% of them, people would effectively say, we just don't love each other anymore. That would be the anecdotal response. We just don't have that feeling of love for one another. And as a society, we believe that if we don't have those feelings, if we don't feel romantically attracted to someone, well, then it's time to try something new. And that's what our society perpetuates. Our movies are flooded with that truth, or not the truth, not the truth, or it's a lie, with that mindset of, if it's not working out, if it doesn't feel good, find something that does. Now, I do understand in the midst of this marriage relational issues, there are some real things, particularly around abuse and violence, that are totally unacceptable, you know. And so there's some very valid spaces in here, but the bulk of them, we just don't feel it anymore. And so I read a tremendous quote this week that gives us a very different perspective. I'll put it up on the screen for you below it. But the author Thornton Wilder said, I married you because you gave me a promise. That promise made up for your faults. And the promise I gave you made up for mine. Two imperfect people got married, and it was the promise that made the marriage. And when our children were growing up, it wasn't a house that protected them, and it wasn't our love that protected them, it was that promise. I love that idea. I love that thought that it's the commitment that we make, the promise that we make, that at the beginning, I'm sure in the numbers of readings I've done, I'm sure we say, for better, for worse. And when people are standing at the altar, dressed up and made up and looking slick, at that point, of course I'm gonna say whatever. Of course I'm gonna say for better, for worse. They're never expecting the worst. They don't know what the worst, no one would be projecting what the worst could look like, but there's a promise made. And I said, I'm not here trying to judge or trying to pull apart or dissect what happened in your world if you've gone through some of this. This is not my intention and not the focus of the message, but because this message really needs to point us back to God here. But you know, the writer here, he understood that relationships are built upon a promise, not merely passion. And should the passion wane, the relationship can continue because of the promise. In other words, it's not your love that sustains your commitment. It's not that feeling that sustains your commitment. It's your commitment that sustains your love. Okay, now we're going to go to a bit of a who am I from the old Sale of the Century. Did that do who am I? One of those shows used to do who am I. We're going to do who am I, and I want to talk about Valentine's Day. Let's look at this. Who am I? I was active from 7:50. Hey, three children. Prophet to the Northern Kingdom of Israel, contemporary to our, and now people I've talked to during the week, you put your head down. Second Andrew for that matter, and my staff. Married with three children. His book is the longest of the minor prophets. Now what does that mean? The minor prophets aren't minor because of their content, they're minor because of their length. His is the longest of the short books. And his name means salvation. Okay, hands up. Who thinks they've got it? Nyla has an idea? No? It's Teddy. Anyone want to hazard a guess? Jenny. Hosea. Let's give Jenny a big clap. Did you ever win it back there as well, Heather? Well done. Okay, I'm not too sure what you know about Hosea. To be honest, I've been ministering now to our 25th year, I've never preached a message on Hosea. There's probably a very good reason for that. It gets a bit saucy. So I'm going to try to bring it down to PG, and then we'll navigate through that. So Hosea's prophecy from God toward Israel, it's more than just his words. Out of the, I think it's 14 chapters, 11 of them are what God's saying physically, his words. But the bulk of Hosea's prophetic word to the nation was viewed through Hosea's actions, through the life that he lived. And so I said, I'm not going to tell the whole story. It is a very complex story. But I want to highlight a thread that is woven through this amazing story. So I want to introduce you to some of the cast in this story. Now, we don't know a lot about one of the main characters of this book. Maybe this woman had a difficult childhood. Maybe she's struggled for acceptance or identity. Maybe she hung around with the wrong group of people. Maybe she made some wrong choices in life. Maybe she was a victim of other people's wrong choices and abuse. We just don't know her backstory. But what we do know is that her life circumstances led a young lady named Gomer. Everyone say Gomer.
Gomer.
Her life circumstances, whatever they were, led her to become a prostitute. And so in her story, she resigned herself to be freely traded on the open market of the sex trade, like common property. She resigned herself to live a life without love, without comfort, and without value. Chances are she wasn't a Jew, so she wasn't one of God's people. Chances are she was a pagan from a surrounding nation. She had no faith, she had no family, and she had no hope. You know, actually, I think Libby, you posted an incredible post a couple of weeks ago. Not that I do Facebook very much, but your feet always come through to me. No one else today, no, just yours. But I think we've got to be really careful that we don't judge people by their circumstances. You know, we don't know what caused this woman to head down this road. And I think it was a really enlightening post. So we don't know what her story was. So this is not a judgment at all on her, because she was obviously very broken. And so that's the character, Gomer. Did everyone say Gomer? The next character, probably the lead in this story, she'd be a supporting actress. This is the lead. This is a young man named Hosea. Everyone say Hosea? He was a young man who loved God. He wanted to serve God with his whole life. In today's world, he probably went to Bible college. Back in my day, Bible college was called Bridal College, and that's when everyone sort of hooked up. That's not where I met Ali, just then, you know, I didn't fall into that culture. But he was a young man wanting to serve God, wanting to give his life to everything that God had for him. And like any young man, he had dreams for marrying someone that would complete him, and that he could partner in ministry with someone in the prophetic ministry. He was really looking forward to someone he could send flowers to, or chocolates to, or write cards to. He was believing God for someone that was going to, you know, get his heart pumping, and someone who he could just love the rest of his life. And so that's Hosea, young prophet, man of God, wanting to give his life to God. And so one day while Hosea was studying and praying and seeking God regarding his life and his wife and his future, God spoke quite a surprising word to him. Hosea chapter 1 verse 2. So when the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, "Go and marry a prostitute so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution." I said this is a really complex story, Hosea, so I'm only going to skim on what I really think God wants to talk about the day before Valentine's Day for us. But, you know, I'm not too sure how I would handle that word from God. I can see some of you frowning and saying, what the heck is going on here? I'm not too sure how I would handle that one. I know God can make all things work together for good, but Hosea didn't have the book of Romans to encourage him in that. He just had a word from God that said, go and do something that would be surprising, unusual, and certainly for the nation of Israel, seemingly contrary to what God is asking for his people. And so, as I said, I want to make this point very clear, whether you're watching it now or later in 10 years' time on our Facebook page, this is not a word of God for you. Just saying, I just want to put it out there. If you're thinking, oh Lord, is that for me? The answer is no. Tell the person next to you, no. Not for you. This is incredibly unique to Hosea's story, and I haven't found it replicated anywhere else in Scripture. And so I don't think you should put this in your bucket list for anyone. It's not an example for us to follow in any way. But God wanted to reveal something to his people through this. The second half of verse 2 goes on to say, this will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshipping other gods. So that's the situation that Hosea is facing and the reason he is being asked to do this. Now, if you were to read through the rest of this book, you would see a beautiful story of restoration. And as I shared last week, I really believe this is the year that God wants to restore. God wants to speak a word of restoration over you, over your family, over your health, over your business, over your thinking, over your dreams, over your vision. I don't know what it is that might be a little bit worn out or run down or weary, but I believe 2022 is the year God wants to speak the word restore over you. And so so as I was just thinking of this message, these two thoughts came together because it is a story of unconditional love. And so then we get to verse 3. So Hosea married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she became pregnant and gave Hosea a son. In fact, they would have three children, and all three of their kids had very significant names for a very significant reason. The first son's name was Jezreel, and that means that God's planting. The second one was a daughter. Her name was Lo Ruhamah, and that means not loved. It's just, again, it's a fascinating story that he's told. He names his children that not loved. How would you like to? What's your name? I'm not loved. You're walking around declaring that, just your name declares that over yourself. And the third son, his name is Lo Ami, and his name means not my people. These are significant names. These are significant names in the prophetic action of Hosea speaking to a nation that's abandoned God. And so I probably won't get to the full meaning of those, but what we would see, and there's passages here where God actually plants his people back. He restores his nation back into Israel. And this is after the exile. This happened before they went to exile. When they get back, God will plant them back. And you'd also see that God says, those who I've not loved, I will love. And those that I have called not my people will be my people. Beautiful, powerful imagery of God restoring people from where they were to something better than what they had. And so remember, this is a living example. Hosea's life is a living example of how Israel treated God. When Israel was at their worst, God accepted them and brought them into relationship with him. But they kept turning their back on God. They kept rejecting God. They kept abandoning him and being unfaithful to him for other gods. So that's the story. That's what's sort of going around in the background of this incredibly complex story. In chapter 2, Hosea confronts Gomer. Effectively, God is confronting Israel for their continual prostitution or their continual unfaithfulness, their idolatry, and pursuing other gods. And so Hosea effectively and rightfully says, if things don't change, this relationship is over. Because she was continuing to go back. They got married, and then she was still doing her thing. And so he says, and rightfully, if this circumstance here doesn't change, this relationship is over. It cannot keep going on the same way. If you want to stay, I want you to stay. But not the way they are. Something needs to give. Something needs to change. And he says to Hosea, effectively, to Gomer, if you want to go, well, that's your choice. But understand that if you go, you're leaving everything that I bring to the relationship. So Hosea provided finances and food and all that, and he draws a line and says to Naomi, it's really your choice. If I'd love you to stay, and if that's the case, things have got to change because it's not going to work like this. But if you want to go, it's your choice. He's not rejecting her. He is letting her know that this relationship is not working, and she has responsibility. So she can go or she can stay, and it's her choice. And so God was saying to Israel, even God is saying to them, I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to give up on you, but I'm willing to give you up if that's what you want to do. God cannot and will not ever. He gives us free will. He gives us the ability to choose. And God always loves us, but he's not going to, and he'll pursue us and he'll chase us and his goodness and all that stuff will follow us, but he cannot make us love him. And so people choose to walk away. So we know the story of Israel. You may know the story of Israel. Even after God accepted and made them his people, they did not respond to his love. They continued to reject him. They continued to follow other gods. As I said, he didn't give up on them, but he gave them over to their choices. And it wasn't long before the nation of Israel was conquered and carried away into captivity in Assyria and Babylon. But even in that, God was opportunity for God speaking hope and promise and love when they returned. Okay, this is a great Valentine's Day message, isn't it? I'm feeling really, really pumped and about love and marriage. And chapter 2 and 3. So that chapter 2 effectively ends with an ultimatum given to Gomer. It's likely months or years between chapter 2 and 3. In this gap, after the ultimatum, Gomer has left, gone back to her ways. She's abandoned her family and her children with really weird names. And she was living in shame and guilt. She was living away from a place of acceptance and love. And that's where we find Gomer rock bottom in chapter 3. And so Hosea had every legal and moral right to divorce Gomer. And under God's law, Hosea had every right to have her killed. But what we discover is Hosea chose to live a life above the law, above his own rights, and above what was in it for him. And I think as Christians, we should be operating at a higher law, the law of love. And in love, Hosea does something that would be incredibly difficult for most of us. Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. Then the Lord said to me, go and love your wife again. Even though she commits adultery with another lover, this will illustrate the Lord still loves Israel, even though people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. I'm saying, God, is there another prophet you can use? You know, I'm pretty much done with this one. But Hosea, he followed God's instructions, goes back to the slave market, and he buys his wife back. He redeems her. He restores her. Although she was already his, he took her back and restored her even when she didn't deserve it. Seemingly didn't even, well, for months or years, just lived in shame and guilt. And I'm certain for Hosea that he didn't have the feels at the moment. I'm sure for Hosea he wasn't thinking, whoa, I'm going to get my chicky babe back. I'm sure for Hosea, as he contemplated, how can I love this woman who has betrayed, abandoned, been unfaithful, and lots of times, over a long period of time, she'd wrecked his home and publicly shamed him, humiliated him, and wrecked his heart. What we discover, with God's help, he was able to love his wife again. I think this is fascinating. And it can only happen with God's help, because in the natural, not happening, Jack. You know, I know in Scripture that the narratives, the stories we come across in Scripture are incomplete. They tell us the outcomes, but they don't actually go into the details of the journey. So in all our complex relationships, see, we discover Gomo went, well, firstly married her when she was doing her thing, and then she did the thing again, then he restored her again. Restoration, it's not a simple overnight fix. It's a decision to walk on a journey. It's likely for, we don't know what happened with Homer and Gozea. We don't know what happened with these guys. It's likely, restoration likely takes months and years, particularly in areas of betrayal. It takes years and months to rebuild trust, to find healing, and to find restoration of heart. Now, you know, we're not told how Hosea and Gomer's relationship ended. We don't know. Scripture is silent on it. We're left unsure. I mean, there's a bunch of... Sam's making us watch movies now. I like watching movies that end nicely. He likes those ones. Things all resolve. It makes sense. And they ride off into the sunset on their horse. Okay, I don't like cowboy movies. But I like the movies that you end at and you go, I feel good about that. Now, Sam, for some reason, got me watched a bunch of movies that end and you go, what? It can't end like that. Or we just don't know. They hop in their car with their shotgun somewhere, and that's the end of the movie. Are they? What are they going to do? Who likes those type of movies other than you? They truly does. So we don't know how this movie works out. We're left hanging on the ending, and I just don't know. We don't know. Scripture gives no evidence. But what I do know, so I don't know how the story ends. But what I do know is how God responds in the midst of this. What I do know is what this story can help us process Valentine's Day. Yes, I'm still talking about that. How that can help us process love today. Because Hosea shows us that relationship was still possible with Gomer. Hosea does. But relationship's possible not on her, not on the terms of her character, because that was shot. Not on the terms of what she had done, because she had done a lot of stuff. But relationship was possible because of his commitment to her. Not according to how he felt, because he would have been messed up for a long time trying to process through all of this. So the relationship can work not because of how he felt, but because of his commitment. Not because of his passion, because that'd be tricky, but because of his promise. Now, to understand that kind of love, because that's a hard love to understand, particularly in the context of the story. So the only way we're going to try to understand this kind of love, we must look to the source of this love, which is God. God didn't wait till we cleaned ourselves up to offer us salvation. In fact, Paul would tell us in Romans that while God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. The message, one of the many messages in the book of Hosea, is no matter how messed up our life is, no matter how broken and how chaotic and how far or how society, outcast you are from society or best practices, it shows us that God loves us while we were messy and messed up and sinning and broken. That's why Jesus came. That's a wonderful message that Hosea shows us. That God can accept us and restore us no matter how messy it is. No matter what you think you've done or said or thought, God can restore that and restore you to him. So that's the source of love. It's God who sent Jesus to us. He didn't wait. Hosea didn't wait for Gomer to come back home. Hosea went and found her and took her home. Second thing is, Luke chapter 19, we see this, that the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. What a wonderful scripture that Jesus is declaring about himself. He came to seek and save us, you, me. One day in your history, maybe you were lost. Maybe you can remember that time. Maybe it wasn't that long ago. Maybe it was a long time ago, but you were lost. You were away from God. You were living a life that was designed by your own desires. But one day, you encountered Jesus. His Holy Spirit came and he drew you to him. He sought and he saved you. What an incredible moment of restoration that you were not part of God's family. You were restored back into relationship with him. I'd expect from most of us we've had that experience. Maybe you're online or maybe you're here and you've never had that experience. You've never actually found yourself at a place where you can receive God's love and find restoration back as a child of his. If that's you this morning, I would encourage you, we're going to pray at the end, and what a wonderful day, on the day before Valentine's Day, that you can actually find your heart restored and healed with your Heavenly Father. What a wonderful moment that will be. We'll pray for that a bit later. But what we discover is that Jesus shows us, well, the story of Hosea shows us, no matter how far we fall, no matter how even if you've, I know, I'm sure you know many Christians as well who have walked away and have just turned their back on God. And the story of Hosea shows us, no matter how far you fall, no matter how far you go, that he can come and lift you up again to somewhere which is even better than you were before. What an amazing story. And all of what God does for us has nothing to do with Valentine feelings. But it's a promise. It's a promise that God gave to a fallen, messed up couple in the Garden of Eden. A promise that was given to them that he would restore them. And then the Bible shows us the story, and then Hosea shows us the story, and all the Old Testament shows us the story of God calling out to his people when they turn their back, and then when they turn to him, that he would lift them up and restore them to a place of higher honor and love. That's the story of the Bible. It's a promise of restoration that's given from the Garden of Eden and extends to you and to me today. Maybe your relationship is in a place of stress or strain, and I really believe that God wants to declare restoration over that this morning. Because, well, we need to remember, if someone you love does something to you that hurts us, I would encourage you, don't wait for that feeling. Don't wait, I've got to feel like forgiving them. You remember, forgiveness isn't accepting what they've done. Forgiveness is dealing with your heart. But if you wait for the feeling, you may never get around to showing them what love is. You may never get around to the story of thinking through Hosea and Gomer and how Hosea showed his love to Gomer. He gave a promise, at the quote I said at the beginning, a promise that makes up for her failing. And she gave him a promise that made up for his. Valentine's Day. Love is more. Boston sang a song, More Than a Feeling. Remembers that song? You don't know that song, do you? Who's? Thanks, Tally. So, wrong song. That'll do. Who was that? So, Alison was singing. Either way, I'm not going to sing it. They sang a song, More Than a Feeling. And yes, I'm going to tell you something. Especially as we hit Valentine's Day, love is more than a feeling. It's got to be. It's a choice. It's a decision. It can be a promise. It's an agreement to walk together for better, for worse. It's just saying, you know what, that is my commitment to you in that space. I want to read one scripture. I'm going to read it together, actually. I talk about what is love, and I think Paul defines that exceptionally well in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so what I'm going to do, we're going to read this together, and we're going to discover, maybe, just think about it when we read it, because love is more than just a Valentine's Day flower. I think it's maybe your thing, it might float your boat. But it's got to be. It's got to be more than the thing that gets your heart fluttering. It's got to be more than a feeling that can come and go depending on your mood or the weather or the news report. Love has got to be something beyond that. And 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul would pen this, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that gives us a greater glimpse of what love is. So why don't we read this together? So with love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. That's what love is. That's the love that God showed the nation of Israel, and the story of Hosea illustrate that in such a powerful, messed up way. But it's the same love that God extends toward us, an unconditional love. So why don't we all stand together, please? If you're at home, you can stay in your lounge if you like. But I do know that love is such a complex thing. And I pray today that what I've shared gives you a glimpse of the incredible love God has for you. Lauren, I might get your team up, thanks. A love that pursues you, a love that follows you and is available to each and every single one of us. A love that's available to you not just on Valentine's Day, a love that's available to you every day. So why don't we pray, and then we're going to close in a song. So Father God, I just thank you for your word and the story of your people. And Lord, this morning I've tried to talk about maybe a difficult story of love and betrayal and restoration. And Lord, I pray that through your Holy Spirit that you would just take my human words and speak into every single one of us, whether we're married or single, regardless of our relationship status, that in the midst of this, that we would see your love modeled through the story of Hosea and Gomer. Lord, that we'd understand that you love us, you've made a commitment toward us. And I do thank you that you love us deeply and unconditionally. And Lord, I pray that as we look upon our relationships, our family love relationships or our romantic love relationships, our marriages, our community, our church, as we look at the relationships that we have that need to be founded on love, Lord, I pray that you help us to look beyond the feelings and look beyond our own personal hurts, but help us to extend grace. I thank you that you've extended grace to us, and that you'd help us to extend grace to others. You've extended love to us, unconditional love. Help us to extend that to others too. And Lord, I do pray for anyone who may be here today or anyone watching online. Lord, those that don't know your love, that don't actually have never had an opportunity to respond to your unconditional love that takes them and picks them up and it takes them out of their place of darkness and confusion and brings them to a place of light and hope and forgiveness and peace. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone there here today or later watching this message, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will just show them your love. And that none of us will be so far away from you. Our hearts won't be so hard. Our attitude won't be so proud. That we would refuse that unconditional love that builds us and grows us, forgives us and restores us. And I ask this, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.